Amen. Thank you, Earl. First off, just want to say happy Mother's Day. Today is a day where we recognize our moms, but it is also a day that I want to extend that to if you are or have helped in any way, whether that's as a step mom or an aunt or a sister or in any sort of way, I just want to thank you for training up the next generation. Mother's Day can be a tough day for some too, whether you've lost your mom or maybe you've always wanted to be a mom but couldn't. I just want you to know that today we want to honor you, we want to recognize you. Thank you so much. And some of you men, if this is you're just now hearing that today is Mother's Day, you still have a little bit of time, okay? I think Walmart's open. But anyway, we have been diving through the book of 1 John, and I don't know about you, but it has been very challenging to me and encouraging in the same way, and so hopefully it has to you. So if you would grab your Bibles, open to 1 John. We'll be at the end of chapter 2 today, and we'll actually get on into chapter 3. As you're turning there, we have discussed, John in this section has challenged us and really cautioned us because there were false teachers that had risen up in this time, and he is trying to help prepare the church in knowing how to handle. So he tells us that he is not writing this letter because they didn't know, but he's writing it because they did know. They had heard about Jesus being the Messiah, being the one who came in the flesh but yet was God, and how he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And they had heard all of that, and now there are people coming in and twisting it. So he gives caution. And he tells us in chapter 2, verse 15, he says, do not love the world. And specifically what he's talking about is the world system, the things of the world, the desires of pursuing and running after the things of this world. And then even more recently, as we looked at briefly last week, and the week before, we was talking about the Antichrist will come. And even many Antichrists have come. And so he begins to let us know that there are people who are opposed to Jesus, and we can recognize them because they are opposed to Jesus. And so when we look at our world that we're in right now, there are all sorts of lies that come at us from so many different directions. Lies like, if I disagree with you, I must hate you. Oh, that is furthest from the truth, right? Lies that say if you don't fit in, then you're probably in the wrong body or something's wrong with how you were created. The enemy is bringing thoughts of suicide to our young people, and I don't think this is anything new, but I will tell you that it is all the time now. I was at a meeting yesterday, and one of the gentlemen just mentioned that his fourth grader is being taught things here in our school as fact, as though they are just theory. And he was talking about all that goes on with that and that they should be teaching it as a theory. All of this, right, is just reminders of the need that we disciple and that we talk about and that we train and that we teach. We live in a world that is all the time feeding all sorts of information, and so we must learn to dive into the truth, right? And parents, I just want to challenge you that your role and responsibility is to disciple your kids. It is not the church's job to disciple your kids. Now, we're to come alongside and we're to help and equip and do these things, but ultimately it's your responsibility. That's why you talk about the things of God. And if you're not meeting together around the dinner table, I just want to encourage you to make sure that's a time that you protect as you talk with your kids, as you talk about the Word of God, that it will be upon your lips. Amen? As you can tell, Drew's not here today. His neck has really been bothering. We've been praying for Drew as they're trying to figure out where the pain is coming from and all that. Would definitely encourage you to do so. But he called. I talked to him on Wednesday as he had kind of sent out a message that he wasn't going to be able to make it. And so I just offered, hey, would you want me to go ahead and teach the youth tonight? And he says, man, that would be great. And so I said, well, what have you guys kind of been talking about? I'll just carry on. And he's like, we've been talking about sexual purity. And I'm like, oh, great, right? I have two daughters that are in the youth. I'm like, that's going to be awesome for them, right? But we did. And I just challenged the youth in really kind of the same areas, that there are all sorts of lies that the enemy wants them to believe, even about sexuality. And a couple of them I just wanted to point out today, just so you know as parents what we discussed and that you can talk to your kids about it, is the first lie that I think the enemy brings, or just a lie, not in any order necessarily, but the way you dress doesn't matter. And I just want you to know that, you know, as females, you can say, well, guys just shouldn't be perverts, but it doesn't change the fact that many of them are, right? And so one of the ways that you can be a part of that is to make sure that you dress with modesty. And so one of the ways I challenged the youth was just that if you wear something that brings attention or takes attention away from your eyes, it might be too small, too short, too tight, too revealing. I mean, these are just possibilities that maybe you can ask. And dads, hang in there. Stay in the fight, right? We need to help train our kids to know these things, that's a lie of the enemy. Another lie is porn is okay. It's not bothering anyone. I'm doing it on my own. But I just want to point out that if you were here a couple of weeks ago when we had our Freedom Weekend, every one of the testimonies of the people from stage, pornography was a huge part, or at least was very prevalent when they were young, and so it led them down a path. Pornography is something that when we pull up on social media and things specifically targets kids, because if they can get kids to dive into pornography, they now have a lifelong you know, person who's going to be purchasing or whatever involved in. Another lie is sexuality is an identity. It's not just an action. It's literally who you are. And so we even label people according to that way. These are lies that I think the enemy has done a good job to get us. Intimacy is not a big deal. You know, you can do it as often as you want with whoever you want. Technical virginity is fine. Again, these are just things that these are lies, right? We live amongst the world that is all the time giving lies. And so just a couple of things that I challenged them with was our body belongs to God. When I was a youth pastor, for like 12 years, I had a student come up to me one time, and she told me this little rhyme that helped her to remember things, and she taught it to me, and she says, "Stop, don't go there. These are my no-no squares." Anyway, I don't know. It stuck with me. Maybe it'll... But purity is our spiritual act of worship. I just lost half of you tonight. I'm sorry. Bring it back in. Focus. Romans 12. Listen to what Romans 12 says. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Listen, we live amongst a world that is all the time feeding us lies. And so therefore, we're not to be a part of the world. We're not to engage and run after the things of the world. And so this is where 1 John, he has challenged us. Last week we looked at, he's not left us on our own, but he's equipped us. He's given us the anointed one, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to overcome temptation, to empower us to be holy as Jesus is holy, to empower us and to lead us, to teach us. And so that brings us to where we are today. If you would, just in honor of the Word of God, stand as we begin in chapter 2, verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask, Lord, that as we live in this world that is corrupt, that, Lord, has a little g, a little god of this world that is seeking to blind the minds of unbelievers, I pray, Father, in the midst of that spiritual warfare, Lord, that we would learn to abide in you, to stand strong in you, to trust you, to stand upon your truth. And so, God, I pray that we would teach our kids, that we would hand off your truths, that we together would be examples of what you have called us and how you have called us to live. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. This morning in your small group, if you went to small groups, probably studied in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus encountered a man who had had a demon. I know the discussion in my small group was great as we talked about what does that look like? Are there demons today and all the things? And as we talk about the world and the system of the world, there is an enemy. And it is not flesh and blood, meaning it is not each other. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy. And we can know that he is real and that he exists. And listen, there is a warfare that is all around us, waging all around us. Many times we don't see. Though we do see evidences of it, and we must be careful not to call everything a demon, but also we must be careful not to live in such a way to believe that there are no demons, right? And so I believe that so many times the enemy works in the darkness here. We, as Christians, would gear up very differently each day if we saw the battle, if we engaged, if he showed his face more often. But I want to tell you that, and it may be more discussions that we can have over experiences, over times in which oppression has been real and people have been led astray by literal demons, even in our day and time, even right now. And with that said, we have the Holy Spirit. And I know that some of us sit here, even with the discussion of demons, you'd be like, now come on, are you saying, and I just want to know, I wish we had time to be able to, and would love to be able to sit down and to share with you story after story, men and women who have been, kids even, who have been set free from literal demons and in my presence. And we'll have discussions some other time. But this call that John has for us in verse 28, he tells us with all this that is going on, the world system, all the antichrists that are coming, those who are opposed to Jesus, here's the encouragement and command that he gives. Abide in him. Abide in Jesus. Live your life connected to Jesus. A definition we could use is to live in fellowship with Jesus every moment of every day. Major Ian Thomas describes it this way. It is not a matter of our doing our best for him, but of Christ being his best in us. All that he is in all that we are. The Christian life is nothing less than the life which he lived then, lived now by him in you. It is to say, what Ian Thomas is saying, is he is saying that what the Christian life is all about is that Jesus is in us. So the life that he lived, that we read about in the Word of God, is to be lived in you and I. In other words, we are to walk as Jesus walked. We're to love people the way that he did. We're to be bold and courageous and confident in the way that he did. Even in this morning's study, it talks about how he stood and spoke with authority. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is in each one of us. And so we must trust that he can use us in ways. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when we look at Jesus' life, we see that he spent time with the Father. He talks about how he loved the Father, and so he was obedient to him. A beautiful picture of this is in John 15, where we have spent time as he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's walking. This is after the upper room. He takes the disciples over to the garden, and along the way he stops off, I believe, probably in a vineyard, and he even has this object lesson of saying, I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man abides in me, holds on to me, stays connected to me, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Just as a branch being cut from the vine and lays on the ground is only going to wither and die, he is saying that if we stay connected to the vine, that fruit will naturally come. The life of the vine, the life of Jesus, will then flow through us. This is the calling that he has for us. And many times you and I, what we'll do each day is we'll say, okay, I'm going to work for the Lord today. I'm going to do my life for Jesus. And that has great intentions. But what he has actually called us to is to live our lives connected to Jesus in such a way that the life of Jesus is lived out of us. And so therefore, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is to glorify the Lord. You know, many times in talking as a youth pastor, I'd talk to students about the topic that we were discussing, and they would ask a question, well, how far is too far? Like, where is the line that it's sin? And I think that's the wrong question altogether. It's the wrong question for all of us. Because you see that the question shouldn't be, well, how far can I go before it's sin? The question should be, what brings glory to the Father? And you see, that's a completely different mindset. If I'm asking questions, Lord, I'm getting ready to do this. Does this bring glory to you? See, I'm asking, is this honoring to, is this led by and empowered by you? And so this comes in any situation that we find ourselves in. If I'm at work and a coworker comes and they're talking about struggles and trials that they're having in life, I can then ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit in me, how do you want me to encourage this person? How can I bring glory to you? And of course, it's going to be the Word of God that rises up through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're able to encourage and point to truth. Or let's say you're with your kids and there's something going on, a situation. Instead of just rising up in anger in the situation, you can ask the Lord, Lord, how can I bring you glory in this? What story or truth of the Word of God can I point my kids to? You see, in every situation now, whether it's in temptation or whatever, when a temptation comes, Lord, what brings you glory? Well, it's obviously not the sin I'm tempted to, right? It points me back to the Word. It allows the Holy Spirit then to leave and lead in that situation to where I can bring honor. I can point. I can proclaim. This is the way Jesus said it. He actually said it 5 times in John 14 and 15. Those 2 chapters, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23 of 14, it says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Or in John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide or remain or connected to my love. In John 15, 14, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. 5 different times, Jesus points to the fact that this love that we have for him and for the Lord will, this connectedness, this abiding to, this running with, this surrendering to, will come out in obedience to the Father. It will be obedience to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads us. So today, I have 4 things or a few things that I want us to look at as we abide in Jesus, okay? So those who abide in Jesus, the first one is those who abide in Jesus will be confident at his coming. Look at verse 28 with me. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. When Jesus returns, when he comes from heaven and descends upon the earth, we will, instead of shrink back in shame because of the things that we've been involved in life, we will run to him like a little kid does to his father. I think I've told this before, but I remember when my girls were young, I'd come home from work or from a trip. Man, the airports were awesome, right? I would come and they'd just start running and there would be this hug and greeting. But I noticed as they've got older, that's kind of quit. And so I mentioned it to them one day. You know, I got back, we were at the airport, and, you know, they waited out in the car this time. They didn't even come in the airport, like, to greet me. And so I get in the car, and they're like, hey, Dad, then I get a little pat on the back or something. And I'm like, you remember when you used to, like, run and greet me? And so a couple of days later, after I mentioned that, I came home from work one day, and they had planned it. Like, they're going to come and run and hug, Daddy's home. And so that happened, and I was like, okay, this is weird. I realize why you don't do that anymore, right? But this is the idea of when Jesus returns, that because we've been abiding with him, we've walked with him, we've experienced his power, we've prayed and received answered prayer as we've walked with him, we've been led by the Spirit to step out in faith, and we did, and there was, he's faithful, and we experienced this, you know, supernaturally or divine encounters or all of these things. You see, when he returns, there's a confidence to run to him. Oh, I know that I'm a child. I know that I am who he has called me to be. I know that it is nothing good in me. It's only what he has done, and we run to him, right? We don't shrink back in shame. Run to him. Mark 8:38 says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." If we are ashamed of Jesus, if you're ashamed of him, if you're ashamed to live for him, man, he might be ashamed of you. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe, like Matthew 7, it's the "depart from me, for I never knew you." Second thing, that those who abide in Jesus, not only will they be confident at his coming, but they will know that they are a child of God. Look at verse 29. "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." This word, the first word there in verse number 1 of chapter 3, says "see." So you just get this picture, look. But in the original language, it's a beautiful word because it means look, look upon. Be amazed. There's this amazement that John has. He's like, look, see the love that God has lavished upon us, that we, even me, that I would be called a child of God. Look, be amazed at this grace. Another place in the Bible says that the angels even look in amazement at the grace that he shows us, almost that they're amazed that he would even forgive someone like you or someone like me. So look at this love. Look at this love that God has, that he would even allow us or call us or choose us to be born again, that we would, like we talked about on Easter, Nicodemus, that Nicodemus would be someone that would be born again, born spiritually, be made alive spiritually, that we could have eternal life, that we would be forgiven of our sins, that we would be called a child of God. Now, as a child of God, I love the picture of adoption that the Word of God uses. That he would not leave us as orphans is what Jesus said. And I believe it's John 16, maybe 17, that God would not leave us as orphans, but that Jesus would not leave us as orphans, but that he would send the Holy Spirit to come. I love that picture, that we would be adopted into his family, that we'd be chosen. And as a child, being adopted to the Father, we carry the name of God. just like my girls carry my name. I'm the father. In the same way, we carry the name of Jesus. We are a Christian, one, a follower of Christ. We are a disciple, a follower of Jesus. We care and bear that name. And so, with that, not only do we carry his name, but we also possess his nature. We are heirs of his kingdom. This is not our home. And so with that, brings us to the last thing I want us to see today is that not only will we be confident in his coming, not only would we be a child of God, but we also, as we abide in him, will become more and more like Jesus. As soon as you and I gave our lives to the Lord, we entered into a process of becoming like Jesus. Now, immediately some things, immediately in our life, were easy to identify, okay, this isn't like Jesus, and so maybe we got those out of our lives. Some of us may still be struggling with some of those things. Like, we know that there's element of our life that doesn't line up with Jesus, but for whatever reason, we've allowed it to continue. But I want you to know that he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given you and I victory over those areas. Like, as we step out in faith and call to him, he will help us to lay those down. And I would encourage you to identify those in your life and to literally begin to, in and by faith, call them out to the Lord. Confess them. This is an area of my life. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to call to you by faith and overcome these. And this is a promise that he has in our life. It's not going to be easy. Some of us have things in our life we've run to and allowed to be there for literally years. But we can trust him. But it's entering into this process of him transforming us. That passage I quote or read a while ago in Romans 12, where we are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Literally, repentance is just that. It is a change of mind, or change the way we see it. So in other words, as we walk and abide in Jesus, he'll begin to show us things in our life or attitudes in our life that don't align with Jesus. And when he does, we change the way we look at it. We now see it as sin, or we now see it as not honoring to him or glorifying to him. And so we begin to gladly lay those things down, right? And it is this process. And it's a process that we must be willing participants in, because I don't know about you, but it's pretty evident in my life to know that I have not yet arrived. I am not like Jesus. I still have areas of my life that I need to lay down. I still have areas in my life that if I'm not careful, that old flesh will rise up and I will respond fleshly instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Now, so I'm a willing participant in. I abide in Jesus. I hold on to the vine. When he shows me these things, I acknowledge them. I change the way I see them. I confess them and I turn from them. Now by faith, I begin to walk into that. Colossians 3 describes it this way. If you have been raised with Christ, or been made new, or been reborn, now have the Holy Spirit, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That if we have been raised with Christ, we now are in Jesus. In Jesus. He is in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And so I'm not going to take Jesus and have him join me in the midst of my sin. If I begin to think of it that way, instead I will only take Jesus to places that are going to be honoring and glorifying. We must see it that way. We are loved by him. We're called to become like him. We're called to be holy and pure as he is. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." We are called to be on this journey to be like Jesus, to walk as he walked. And in that, we are willing participants along this journey because as we look back at our life, we get to see his work in us and through us as we abide with him, as we walk with him, as we hold on and say, okay, I trust you. I know I'm weak, and so I'm going to need to be dependent upon you to lead me, to guide me. I love the hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote. She actually wrote some 5,000 hymns. But I want you to listen to this one. It may be a familiar one to you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Fanny Crosby was blind as she wrote these words. Watching and waiting, looking above. You can almost hear and see her looking to heaven, looking for the return of Jesus, watching and waiting, living my life ready for him to come, but at the same time, I know that I and my Savior am going to be happy and blessed no matter what trials or struggles come, and I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to run after him. I'm going to allow the Spirit to do hard things through me. Listen, I want you to know that when the Spirit begins to speak to your heart or to call you to do something, even in any area of obedience, there will be an element of fear because it will require faith. Trust him. He is faithful. Trust him. We can look to him. So in the way of application, and we'll be done. The first thing I want us to see is, and challenge you with, as John did here, is that we must make abiding with Jesus our daily priority. That today, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Not only just spend time in my quiet time, but I'm going to come before the throne, realize that I get to enter into the presence of God, but more than that, realize that his presence goes with me throughout the day. That right now, Jesus is with me. Here, when I begin to eat lunch, Jesus will be with me. When I encounter hard situations, who's there? Jesus. So I abide with him. I walk with him. I make that a priority. Listen, if you know that you need to spend time with him in the morning, but that's hard for you, then prepare the night before. Go to bed earlier, right? I have a meeting with Jesus in the morning. If there's other time in the day that works better for you, then set that time aside and say, this is the time that I'm going to meet Jesus. I'm going to dive into his truth so that I have it upon my heart and my mind, and I'm going to walk with him throughout the day. The second thing, as a child of God, I will seek to be like Jesus. As you read, in my own studies, I'll go and read different places in the Bible, but I always find my way back to the Gospels. I want to be like Jesus. I want to know how he responded. I want to see how he interacted with sinners. He was known as a friend of sinners. I want to be known as a friend of sinners. I want to love people no matter what sin they're involved in, and I want to love them so much that they see Jesus inside of me, right? I want to stand out. Not in a way that people look at me and say, whoa, look at him, but I want to stand out in such a way that they are like, wow, that must be what Jesus looked like. And I want to tell you, as we abide in him, he will cause us to do things that we never thought we'd be able to do. Because there is a confidence that comes that I'm weak, but the Jesus inside of me is strong. And so therefore, he can do anything. Last thing, I will seek to allow Jesus to work in and through me each moment of every day. And so today, as we leave here, I challenge us each week to remind us that we are sent. We are sent by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to make him known to this world, to be the light. And that will require faith, because that's hard. But as I abide in him, I just let Jesus, I just let fruit of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, I just let that begin to flow out of me everywhere, every person I engage. I look at them and realize immediately that they matter to Jesus, and so they should matter to me. So if you go eat lunch out somewhere, if you're going to take your mom out somewhere, there's going to be a waiter or a waitress come to you. They matter to Jesus. Did you know that? Your coworker who maybe you're bothered by, they matter to Jesus. And they may not know him. Be Jesus to them. Love them. Encourage them. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that for the calling that we have to abide in your truth. There are so many lies that we're fed and daily. But Lord, I pray that we would dive into your truth, that we would know it, that we would have it upon our minds, that we would abide in you, meaning that we would walk with you, trust you, surrender to you. And Lord, I pray that even this morning that there would be someone who would believe in you. So even right now, I pray that your Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts. If as Christians we have been fearful or timid or lazy, God, I pray that you would renew in us a hope and a passion. Maybe the same passion that we had when we first gave our lives to you. Or Lord, a fresh, new, and just a passion for your love and for your word. That we would see people completely different. That we'd see them through your eyes. God, I pray that we would be a church that stands upon your truth, but Lord, believes and trusts in the power of your Spirit. God, we just want to honor you. We want to know you. We want to be like you. So God, speak to us. Lead us. Guide us. Help us to trust you enough to follow, to obey. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray.